in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, boy. Would you call this an incident? I actually need your opinion out there in Radio Land. I always cut it close when I get to work. I'm like, I just get here, I walked in the door 15 seconds ago. So I'm downstairs in the lobby, and I press, I get in the elevator, I press the button. We have in this building incredibly slow elevators, right? You press a button, it takes a good, 20 seconds for the elevators to start closing, right? It really does. It takes a long time. This one was going extra long. I'm like, come on. And finally I start hitting the door close button. It's not working. Finally it starts to close. And, I'm running late. A woman approaches the elevator. I say, don't stop. Don't come in. And she just looks at me, and I could tell she was kind of thinking about going in anyway. And she didn't. She walked back, but I said, stop, don't come in. I didn't say please. I didn't say anything else. I just said, stop, don't come in. Is that terrible? Can you get arrested for that? No. No. You can be rude. It was whoever that was. I hope she doesn't work here, by the way. I was the only person on the elevator, so there's nobody else here, and I just said, stop. She may have thought that there was like some sort of safety hazard with the elevator. You know what I mean? She may have thought that. I hope. Probably not. Anyway, to whoever you are, wherever you are, sorry about that. But when those elevator doors start, you can't do that. You can't just, save me the elevator. Not in this building. I apologize. It doesn't work that way. So, where are we? How is everybody? The U.S. beat Iran. Does anybody care? I actually did not make a big deal out of it. I don't, soccer, whatever. We're definitely rooting for America, Team USA, wherever. Hey, how about that Mitch McConnell? Did you see my show last night? I do a pretty good Mitch McConnell impression. And, Mitch, I now know that the Kanye Trump lunch was a setup. It was a total setup. And the real conspiracy wasn't, we're going to get Kanye in there to have lunch with the president. Yeah, we can pull that off. We can have Kanye go there. No, the conspiracy was to overreact after the lunch and to sneak in this Fuentes guy. Because there are people out there like Mitch McConnell and many in the mainstream media who are once again saying, oh, Donald Trump is finished. He has no place in polite society. And this is just this is actually right up there with one of the impeachment plots. It really is in a strange way. This is on that level. We'll get Kanye. Kanye is, I know he posted some dopey tweet. Horrible tweet, fine. The worst tweet imaginable. But since we already kind of know Kanye and he goes decades back and it was one tweet, that stuff is kind of evaporates very quickly. And I proved it on the Newsmax show. He tweets something anti-Semitic on Monday. By Friday, they're back to, oh, Kanye has a new girlfriend. Oh, Kanye saw his children at a soccer game. Oh, Kanye's getting along with Kim Kardashian. Oh, Kanye had a fight at a bar. Oh, just regular business as usual, Kanye West stuff, okay? So they were able to move on, but this was a plot. I really do think so. And it wasn't like, well, Donald Trump should know better. No, it's okay, actually. It's okay to have that lunch. It's totally fine. This was a setup. And it's not like Donald Trump fell for it necessarily. The setup, again, is the overreaction. The media overreaction, rhinos overreacting, and here's Mitch McConnell, cut 33.
There is no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism or white supremacy. And anyone meeting with people advocating that point of view, in my judgment, are highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States.
In my judgment. Well, that's funny because the person who's white and in the White House right now is Joe Biden, who was very good friends with the well-known anti-Semite, white supremacist bigot Strom Thurmond. Oh, yes, yeah, Strom Thurmond did a lot of he was a bigot.
He was a bigot! But he was in the club. He was in the Senate club. So, it wasn't a lunch. These guys governed. They governed with Strom Thurmond. They governed. They made money. They traveled. They drank. They laughed. Joe Biden was even, you know who Strom Thurmond is, right? The bigoted senator from South Carolina. He's dead now. And when he died, Joe Biden was invited to the funeral. And he almost treated the racism of Strom Thurmond as like, ah, you know, that's just Strom being Strom. Eh, he's not as racist as he used to be. It's okay, right? 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 No, it's not. Cut 34, please.
Strom Thurmond was also a brave man who, in the end, made his choice and moved to the good side. We became good friends. I'm not sure exactly why or how it happened, Nancy, but you know we did. And Fritz could never figure it out, either could I.
Well, when he tells the story, actually, they're friends, like they're really close friends, the day they meet, well before Strom came over to the good side, and Strom retained a hell of a lot of the bias and prejudice and nasty stuff all the way up until the day he died. And Mitch McConnell, here's Mitch as a spring chicken. This is back in 1997. How old is Mitch then? How old is he, like 50, 55? Mitch McConnell is all cut up that there will be no more Strom Thurmond around. Cut 35?
I literally cannot remember life without Strom Thurmond. I remember the excitement, having been a son of the Deep South, when Senator Thurmond decided to become a Republican.
Wow. That was beautiful, right? What a beautiful moment. Hey, welcome to the Republican Party, you bigot. Strom's dead. He died a long time ago. He died almost 20 years ago. Celebrating that guy's life. I don't know. I don't think so. And they worked with him. They worked with the guy. Again, he was as bad as they come. So it's okay, though, when the senators do it, when they work, not only have a lunch, they go on vacation, they work, they lobby, they do all this stuff. Their lives are interlocked. How about Minister Farrakhan and he hanging out with Barack Obama? Does anybody give a damn about that? I am literally the only one who's been pointing this out lately. Maybe a little bit of Levin on the radio, but here's a, you know Minister Farrakhan, right? Here's a little taste of his hate. Cut 36.
And I'm here to separate the good Jews from the satanic Jews. Yes, yes, yes! So I am dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Not to you. Unless you feel that Father Flager's invitation to me may hurt Saint Sabina. They don't have the power to hurt Saint Sabina if you don't give them that power.
Well, this is hate at a very esoteric level, but this is anti-Semitic stuff, and it's okay if it's from the left. It's never okay. It's never okay. Regarding Kanye, again, the guy is still, like, I think he's the top singer in the world. Does that excuse anti-Semitism? Of course not. But it was one tweet on one crazy night. We already kind of know who Kanye West is. He's a nut job. He blew it. And that Milo guy, have you heard of Milo Yiannopoulos or whatever his name is? Now, this guy is hardcore right wing. I'm not that familiar with his work, so I'll refrain from any further statement on him. But it looks like he had a hand in this. Actually, he's boasting as much. So, hey, it's Christmas time. Joe Biden, how many grandchildren does Joe Biden have? Cut 37, please.
How many of you have been unable to hug your grandkids in the last 7 months? I got six of them.
No, Joe, you have seven of them. Seven of them. How could Joe Biden miss one of his grandchildren? You know how? Well, one of his grandchildren is unacknowledged. Unacknowledged by Hunter and by Joe Biden himself. Hunter Biden got a girl pregnant. I think she was a dancer. And he didn't want to do the right thing. He didn't want to stand by her. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. Poor girl had to drag him to court. Paternity test, all that stuff. Finally, it was established that, yes, Hunter is the father of a little girl named Navy. And she's growing up somewhere. I think she's like 5 years old now. She's growing up in Arkansas. And every now and then this case makes its way into the court because Hunter does not want to pay much in the way of child support. That's the thing about Hunter. You know, those millions and millions and millions of dollars, he squandered so much of it. You can talk to Rudy Giuliani about that. Hookers, drugs, clothes, weird stuff, 10% for the big guy at least. He wasn't particularly good with his money. But how about that? The president of the United States has a granddaughter. He does not acknowledge. There's no stocking for Navy at the White House. You imagine you're walking around and your grandfather is the president of the United States and you're poor. Isn't that kind of like that should not be? What silly, cheap, weird people are these, huh? And I see Joe is not saying anything at all in support of our, well, I guess I'm going to call them freedom fighters in China. They're freedom fighters. These are great people. They've had enough with the draconian lockdowns. I mean, barricading doors, locking people in an apartment building so they can't come outside and a fire starts. Protests all over China, and we're not saying a damn thing about it. You know why? Because, it's very, very awkward for a guy like Joe Biden, because I'm pretty sure he's compromised. I'm pretty sure he's compromised. I mean, going over there with his son on the plane, very strange, strange stuff. He shouldn't have done that. Who knows? Who knows what they've got on Joe? I'm pretty sure they got something on him, though. Don't you? Aren't you at this point? Hey, do we have it? And Trump was always has been consistent, true, hard on China. It was China's fault, and don't forget it. Do we have that, actually, where he blames China really, really harshly? This is what you need, this kind of strength. He's not compromised, whereas Joe Biden did business with all these people. And remember how he would brag how many people, how many miles he spent in an airplane with President Xi? No, I don't care. You don't care. I expect that these guys hang out with each other. I can accept that. But why would you keep bragging about it? Well, he's bragging about it to attract clients. All right. It's all about attracting business. He was really doing this a lot between 2017 and 2021 when he was a private citizen, technically. Hey, do me a favor. You got that stuff about Biden bragging about how well he knows President Xi? I know President Xi so well, 400 million miles with him, the president of China. First, do me a favor. Get the one where Donald Trump makes it quite clear who our enemy is. All right. This is go for it.
It was China's fault, and China's going to pay a big price what they've done to this country. China's going to pay a big price what they've done to the world. This was China's fault, and just remember that.
Just remember that. Well, Joe doesn't want you to remember that. He doesn't want you to think anything about China. He doesn't want you to be looking into his relationship with China. He doesn't want no. He wants China is our competitor, not our enemy. That's what he said many times, but... Yeah, he brags about how close he was with President Xi. Remember they went off for that little walk? And he said, America can be defined by one word, President Xi. So what's that? Possibility. Possibility. Anyway, it would be really nice if we had a... Like Reagan, who could stand up and he was free to say things, to represent us, to... He's just too entangled. He's compromised. You have it yet? You got that? No? All right, never mind. All right, give me a moment. I'll be right back. I'm going to find this thing.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
I've spent more time with Xi Jinping, at least before we got out, than any world leader has. I've traveled 17,000 miles with him, the president of China.
I probably spent more time with Xi Jinping, I'm told, than any world leader has because I had 24, 25 hours of private meetings with him when I was vice president, traveled 17,000 miles with him, and know him pretty well.
I've spent more time with President Xi of China than any world leader has, for 24 hours of private meetings with him.
I've spoken and spent more time with Xi Jinping than any other world leader has.
I've had hours and hours and hours of meetings and personal conversations with Xi Jinping. I spent more time with him, I believe, than any other world leader has.
Why would he go around saying that? What does he expect these? You can watch. The crowds are like, and so it's not for the crowds. It's not for voters. It's for clients. It's for people who want to do business with China. And what do? Do you go see Joe? No, you go see Hunter. Why do you think he's always, why was he bragging about Hunter for years? Hunter's the smartest man I know. Hunter is the last person I talk to at night and the first person I talk to in the morning. Why do you go to a photographer in downtown Wilmington and spend the afternoon there hugging and kissing in front of the photographer, father-son pictures, which were pretty gross, by the way, let's face it. I mean, these guys kissing on the lips. They're kissing on the lips, for crying just. We all love our fathers, right? But, hey, I mean, come on. And they're both flashing pretty expensive watches. Not in a, ooh, I got this 30 years ago. It's a really special, you know. No, I got this 10 minutes ago, and I'm going to get another one next week. That kind of, the flaunting of it, the flaunting of it. Why do you think he went to Nantucket? He could go to Camp David. He could go to one of his four houses. No, he wants to go to Nantucket, a little village, so he can be a big shot. Walking around down the street, look at me, staying at a billionaire's crib, some guy he doesn't even know. This is what it's like, I think, to have a corrupt man as president. And he's going to run again? Are you serious? He's seriously going to run again? Well, we're going to know in the next couple of months if he is running for president. And if he is, to me, it seals the deal. Oh, yeah. They screwed with the election last time, and they're going to screw with it again. Showed on my show. I mean, it's just 81 million votes for Joe Biden, more than any sitting president in history, more than any candidate for president, where Donald Trump got more votes than any sitting president, 74 million. How many people voted, by the way, in the, let's see, the 2012 election? How many votes did Barack Obama get in 2012? I bet it's 60-something. Barack Obama 2012 reelection. He got only 51.1% of the vote, but how many, what is that in the popular vote? 65 million. See what I mean? Right? No. That's a high number. 65, 81 million for Joe Biden. More black people came out to vote for Joe Biden than Barack Obama? No. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Joel in New Jersey, yes.
Rick, how are you? I can't lie. It's Mike from Wayne, New Jersey, but I wanted to be truthful with you. I just want to point out.
All right, Joel, I don't know what the hell that's all about, but there's the music and I got to go. I thought you want to be truthful with me. Be truthful with the call screener. Be truthful with everybody. You're going to tell me a fib. You're going to tell somebody else. What? Joel, you're back on probation. Joel, Tom, whatever your name, 30 days minimum in the doghouse. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Did you hear that guy? Kirby is his name. Kirby, K-I-R-B-Y. He's like the real press secretary because Karine Jean-Pierre can't hack it. His name is Kirby. He was in the Navy at some point. Everyone's falling all over themselves calling him Admiral, Admiral Kirby. I call him John. And he was there on the morning show lying about what a great job we did in Afghanistan. We did a great job. No other country could do what we did in Afghanistan. I think a lot of countries could actually lose in Afghanistan. We were the only country that could have won, but we didn't. Thanks to you guys. Bad stuff. Hey, so they don't have a person of interest even in this Idaho college dorm case, four kids killed. It wasn't a dorm, actually. It was an off-campus house. Four kids stabbed to death. I mean, wow. In the Moscow, it's Moscow, Idaho, right? It's a small town. I don't know how many murders they have, but they don't seem to be particularly adept at the situation. And, well, neither does the FBI. FBI has too much DEI to worry about. And going after January 6 people, maybe they're losing their touch when it comes to homicide investigations. Anyway, the first thing the Moscow police did, they issued a statement saying nobody has to worry about anything. There's nothing to be alarmed about. Kind of odd. And then a couple of days later, they came out, next day actually, they came out and said everybody should be alarmed and vigilant. Cut 38.
We cannot say that there's no threat to the community. And as we have stated, please stay vigilant, report any suspicious activity, and be aware of your surroundings at all times.
Mm. It's like just diametrically opposed to what they said the day before. Don't worry about anything. Nothing to see here. Just 4 college kids were wounded or killed. But there's no threat to the community. Now there is a threat to the community. Obviously, the thing's unsolved. Unless they really think, what, there are other people in the house who are alive, right? Still, roommates? I hope they know what they're doing. But I see the hand of politics in everything now, even in law enforcement. Law enforcement was this bastion of, well, it's one place where you could be conservative and not look over your shoulder all the time. You know what I mean? Doesn't really matter what your political stripes are, but it was basically a place where you could be conservative, or at least the liberal control of law enforcement, well, it wasn't there. And they hate that, the left, and they want it. They want it bad. So now police departments are going woke. You heard this by now from the police chief in Colorado Springs after that nightclub shooting. You know, he's using the pronouns, this, that, and the other thing. I went back and I watched the whole press conference. It's at police headquarters, and another official steps forward. You want the police to investigate. You want the police to prevent crime. You want the police to arrest people. You just don't want... Do you really want this? Do you really want this? Listen to all the services that the police department are prepared to provide in the aftermath of a mass shooting. Tell me where it goes off the rails. Cut 40.
Now, for people needing support during this emotional time, the Colorado Springs Police Department is hosting a community resource expo to provide our community members with the help they need in navigating the variety of emotions they may be experiencing surrounding this event. The expo is providing mental health resources, spiritual support, emotional support, animal support, child care, emergency financial resources, LGBTQ plus support, meals, and other services.
Okay. Well, for me, when he mentioned the animal support, all right, that's... And the LGBTQ. What about human being support? I don't really care about the animals at this point. I don't. Hey, there's enough do-goodery for animals. You know, in America, we take better care of animals, dogs, and cats than we do people. I'm serious. Look up foster children. Look up the amount of money we give to foster care programs and the amount of money we give to cats and dogs. I love cats and dogs, but enough already. And that's wokeness to an absurd degree, but it's happening. Now, if you are a nuts and bolts law enforcement professional like this guy, Jay Baker, who just wants to inform the public... Remember, after a press conference, they would inform the public everything they know. They would put out there. Now they hem and they haw and they say, we can't say anything at this time. Why not? Tell us what you know. Well, here's one of the reasons why they may be reluctant. What happened to this guy, Jay Baker? Here he is in uniform. I think he's a sergeant with the sheriff's department outside of Atlanta. And he's got he's just relaying the facts as he understands them from that spa shooting in April of last year. All right, that horrible thing. The guy goes into the massage parlors and starts shooting up people. Remember? Listen to what the police official says about 2 days later when they're putting this. It's actually the next day when they're piecing this all together. They got a suspect. He's in custody and he's talking. So I want to know what's going on, don't you? It's not going to hinder prosecution or anything like that. Cut 41.
He claims that these, and as the chief said, this is still early, but he does claim that it was not racially motivated.
All right. Fair enough. That's what he's saying. Cut 42, please.
When I spoke with investigators, they interviewed him this morning, and they got that impression that, yes, he understood the gravity of it, and he was pretty much fed up and kind of at the end of his rope, and yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
Well, that's what he did. That's what he was told. But that's not what the media wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that this was a white supremacist out to kill people of color. And if you don't tell us what we hear, we're going to cancel you. Cut 43.
A really bad day for him. Not racially motivated? Child, please.
We don't accept that because this is a professional law enforcement officer, and he should know better.
He was having a bad day. Just imagine what they might have said about a black suspect or a brown suspect or an Asian suspect.
I would imagine that Jay Baker would have told us the facts. Whatever he was hearing from the suspect, it was in custody. Hey, right now, speaking of police officials on television and providing information, you know who's on TV? The San Francisco police chief. Remember him, the one who was very evasive when it came to putting out information about Paul Pelosi and that whole thing. The one who got really emotional. Chief of police, 35 years law enforcement experience. And he starts crying because Paul Pelosi got hit in the head. He really did. He started crying. He started crying, got all emotional. Everybody should be disgusted by this. I'm going to try to go on, but I may not be able to. That confirmed to me. It was probably the fifth or sixth thing that was totally, totally wrong with the Paul Pelosi case. That the chief of the police department was crying because some guy got hit in the head. These guys have seen it all. Hit in the head. They've seen people dismembered. All right. Did I ever tell you I came upon those cops and one of them recognized me and, you know, we start shooting the breeze and I knew that somebody had just jumped off a building. All right. It was at night and, you know, and this cop starts, hey, Greg, you know, you and Roseanne, you're a great team. And we're talking. I'm like, oh, hey, man, thanks a lot. Hey, by the way, where's the body? He's like, oh, it's right here. It was right at our feet. It was literally right at our feet. It had a dark tarp on it, so you couldn't really... I was like, but these guys have seen it all. It's a coping mechanism. It's not that they're insensitive or inhumane or anything like that. It's a coping mechanism. If you see this stuff every day, you can't let it get to you. They're professionals. Anyway, the chief started crying. I just saw him on CNN. He's talking about a new robot camera. They have a robot that not only has a camera, it has a gun on it, apparently, and they just voted at in the San Francisco City Council giving this thing the authority to shoot and kill people. The robot. Seems kind of bizarre. I don't know what the chief had to say about it, but they did not ask him one thing about Paul Pelosi. Did they? Maybe at the beginning? I had the whole thing on. I was watching the camera. It was all about the robot. I still have plenty of questions about Paul Pelosi. I haven't forgotten that weird phony baloney story. Are you buying that? All the inconsistency, so many strange things about it. Nancy Pelosi requesting privacy. The very first thing she did was request privacy. No, you request justice. You demand justice. And then she disappears for a week. And when does she reemerge? Election Eve, Monday night before the election. This was definitely January 6th related. And everybody just accepts that. They eat it up. So, Paul, what's the defendant's name again? Dave DePape, right? The guy from Canada who suddenly sounds like some, I don't know, I mean, ultra, ultra, ultra Tea Party kind of, you know, really, really, you know, intense guy who came here from Canada when he was like 25. No, I don't believe it. I don't. So DePape is in custody right now, and he has a lawyer. But guess who the lawyer works for? San Francisco, the city of San Francisco. They got a unique system there where the public defender is like the prosecutor. You elect the prosecutor. You also elect the public defender. So all the public defenders there actually work for the city. Now, I know we have that as well, but usually you don't have a prominent – you don't have a district attorney equivalent who's a public defender. And I think those guys are usually paid through like legal aid and stuff like that. You don't want the state. You don't want the authorities involved. I don't think this guy's getting a fair shake at all. Maria, hey, welcome back. You're in Franklin Square. Hi.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Fine.
Listen, you know, I call because I'm always aggravated with this news and all that. But, you know, I have to tell you, it's really pathetic, this country of ours with these people. They all complain, complain, complain. And at the end, when they vote, what do they vote for the same garbage that we do have? You know, I have to tell you, where does it state that a congresswoman, I'm going to tell you, one of the Omar women from Michigan over there?
Yeah, Tlaib, right?
Right. She can be a congresswoman but hate our country?
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
Is that allowed? Is that allowed?
I guess it is allowed. They take an oath to defend the Constitution. I don't think they take an oath to like it. right? I don't know. I don't know if they have to like it. Technically, letter of the law. Look, I don't like that she's in Congress. I don't like her policies. I don't like what she stands for. I don't like her. And that goes for AOC and Tlaib and Omar and the rest of them. Oh, and Hakeem Jeffries in the mix. Hakeem Jeffries, Brooklyn's own Hakeem election denier Jeffries. I got to brush up on him. Is he as radical as the rest of them? I don't know. But look, it's a good question. I don't think you have to like America to be a member of Congress. It's strange. Why would you want to be a member of Congress if you don't like America? A lot of Democrats don't like America. They're always putting this country down. They're always saying we're not as good as other countries. They have an inferiority complex, or they get off on somehow reducing America and elevating other countries.
But why don't they just leave? If they don't like it, who's telling them to stay here?
Yeah, I know.
Leave the country. Do you remember the statement Madonna made? She wanted to blow up the White House.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. It's bad. Should be illegal, quite frankly. That should be illegal. But look, don't get so worked up about it, Maria. It doesn't have to ruin your day.
But it does ruin my day.
Ah, come on. Don't let it ruin your day. You worry too much.
This is our country. Yeah. God bless America.
Yeah.
These people should go to other countries and see the way they're treated. You know?
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you something. I'm not that keen about America right now at the moment either.
Yeah, but you still love your country.
You know, I love our history. I love where we came from. You know, I love sea to shining sea. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Do you? Right now, quite frankly, I'm loving America for old time's sake. That's kind of how I feel. A little bit for old time's sake. You know?
Okay. But listen, Greg.
What?
This president that we have.
I know, he's a bum.
He's a disgrace. Do you know we're the laughing stocks of the world? I mean, do you see this man doesn't even make sense when he talks? He doesn't know if he's coming or he's going.
And guess what? He's going to run for, he's running for reelection. And if he really does that, what does that say, huh? What does that say? Talk about a rigged system. Maria, thank you. There's one more call we got to get to. It's Joe in Connecticut. Yes, sir.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Fine.
Listen, I think Sid is making a huge mistake setting up this Eric Adams, this bum, with Giuliani, because if this guy happens to clean up the city, which he could never, he's such a lightweight, that'll prop him up to the next level, possibly running for president of our country.
Wait a second. Wait. If he, what was your theory again? If he does what?
If he succeeds in cleaning up New York City, okay.
So wait. Look. Forget about him for a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want New York City to? I see you're in Connecticut, by the way. Okay, good for you're up in Connecticut.
I need this city
fixed. All right. If he wants to run around pretending and lying and claiming credit, I just need it fixed. All right. I need it fixed. You know about my plans to potentially run against him. I don't care. If it gets fixed. So we want this place fixed. All right. We need this damn city fixed. So, I mean, you're like, oh, don't fix it now because we need to make sure he doesn't become president and he doesn't get reelected. Is that what you're saying? That's what you're saying, Joe.
I know.
But I can't stand the guy. All right. I know he's a fraud. I know all that stuff. But if he meets with Rudy Giuliani and Rudy Giuliani gives him a, you know, do these 17 things, okay? If Rudy Giuliani is the shadow mayor and things start turning around, I'm actually okay with that, all right? I don't want the city to remain a mess. I don't want people to die. I don't want people to get shot. I don't want businesses to be robbed and people to be victimized just so, you know, for political reasons, pal, all right? We got a lot more on the line. Than you do, quite frankly, Joe. You left. I don't blame you for leaving. I do not blame you for leaving.
Remember Goodfellas when he said you don't put a silk hat on a pig?
No offense.
With this Adams guy.
No offense.
Yeah.
I know he's a friend of yours. What do you want me to do? Shoot the guy?
Yeah, shoot the guy.
I'm sorry I said that. He's scaring me. I'm sorry I said that. Yeah, a silk hat on a pig. Come on. I see where you're coming from. Quite frankly, you're a movie buff, so you're a good guy, and you like Goodfellas. You're a good fella. But look, we need the city cleaned up, period, all right? I don't care who the hell gets the credit. I mean, he doesn't deserve it, you're right. Hey, he's getting points for this. Oh, he's getting tough on the mentally ill. He's going to have them locked away. Cops have been able to do that since cops. They've been putting people at Bellevue since they established Bellevue. If you look at the fine print of this thing, he's just saying Eric Adams is reiterating the policy. He's clarifying the policy, but he's not rewriting the policy. That 11-point thing is a wish list, and it's meaningless. It's just a press release, and a lot of people on the right fall for it, even my beloved New York Post, which half the time I don't know about. Hey, I got to go. Thanks, Joe.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right, hey, this book, lots of buzz about my book, Justice for All, How the Woke Left is Wrong About Law Enforcement. And some wise guys online have been saying, hey, Greg, you're going to talk about the time that you were arrested? Well, number one, I wasn't arrested, jerk. Number two, yes, I am talking about that incident that happened 12 years ago, the false accusation, the false, vicious, malicious accusation that was made against me. Yes, I talk about it in the book. I know what it's like to be accused. I know what it's like to be falsely accused. I know the damage it can do. I know, the pressure, the fear. I know it's a terrible, terrible thing to go through. However, I had a couple of things going in my favor. Number one, I was completely and totally innocent. Number two, I knew the evidence would show that incontrovertibly, and it did. And yes, I had the love of my family, including my parents, my brother, cousins, aunts and uncles, friends, neighbors, and people I never even met. All right? I could feel it. I could feel the love. And most importantly, God. God knew exactly. He knew everything. Everything that had happened, and he guided me through that horrible moment. So that's in the book. Yes. When was that? January of 2012. Man, that was a whew. But you come out stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Whatever, right? It really. I'm going to tell you one part of that actually. So I get a knock at the door in the middle of the night. I can't tell you all the details. You can check it out in the book. But I remember I was totally startled. And I had this notion that somebody in my family had been hurt. Somebody had died or something horrible had happened. Actually, it was the phone that went off first, the phone. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? It was like 2 a.m. What could have happened? What's going on? And then I found out, phew. I was totally relieved. Yes, I was being accused of something horrible, but I was totally relieved that my family was okay. And I knew I was innocent, and I knew that would be proven. I also knew that I was about to be thoroughly embarrassed, but I could take that over losing a loved one or something really, really horrible and permanent happening. So strangely enough, I was asked once, that's why I kind of put it in the book, what was your reaction when you found out, you know, when you're accused? I say relief. Really? Relief? What do you mean? Just that. And that phone rang in the middle of the night. I thought somebody close to me was dead. And then it turned out to be, oh, yeah, this. I can handle this. I don't know if I could have handled that at that time. The other thing, the death in the family. Anyway, and don't want it anytime soon. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right, Hakeem, congratulations. The congressman from Brooklyn is now the minority leader. You know why they want these leadership jobs for the most part? The perks. Oh, yeah, the perks. You get security, you get cars, often you can take a plane,
There are 435 members of the House of Representatives. Most of them are completely anonymous. You'll never, ever, ever recognize them. You know, they get this big job, and it is kind of big when you think about it. 300 million people in America. We only have 537 federal elected representatives. That's not many compared to 300 million people. 537 get elected. 12 of them are recognizable. 12, maybe 15. Most aren't, and it's very, very frustrating for them. Now, some are great. They're not there for the recognition. They're there to get things done. They're there for all the right reasons, but too many of them are there for the power, the glory, the fame. So when they get there and they realize, wait a second, where is all that power, glory, and fame? No, because you guys are a dime a dozen. So then they fall all over themselves trying to create spectacles and, you know, create a carnival atmosphere so that the media will look and look at them and that they might have a future when they finally leave Congress. And 90% of them at least become, what do they become? Lobbyists. They go right back in. It's one, that's the swamp. Hey, something that didn't receive much attention actually at all when Donald Trump announced for president, what, 2 weeks ago? He said he wants a lifetime ban for former members of the House from lobbying. Lifetime ban. Well, that's terrifying to a guy like Mitch. That's terrifying to just about almost everybody in Congress. Because this is all they know how to do. They have no real skill. Why do you think they ran for office? Very few of these guys. Hey, we met that great congressman from Pennsylvania. This guy actually knew how to do stuff. I love people who know how to do stuff. And then apply their expertise in doing stuff to Congress, to making policy knowledge. But most of them are just in it for the game of politics. And you know who's the worst of the worst when it comes to that stuff is Chuck Schumer. Let's see here. And when he talks like this, it tells me again, it confirms to me that this whole Kanye West lunch freak out that everybody's having was a set up and scam. Cut 19, please.
Even assuming the former president didn't realize Mr. Fuentes was coming to Mar-a-Lago, for him to refuse to condemn Fuentes and his bigoted words after the dinner is appalling and it is dangerous.
Appalling and dangerous. I'll condemn whatever you want me to condemn. Who's this guy again? They always play this game. You must condemn. You remember when, who was it? Chris Wallace and Joe Biden tag teamed? You got to condemn the Proud Boys. Who are the Proud Boys? To this day, what are the Proud Boys? If you do a little research, actually, you'll find out that the Proud Boys are not white supremacists. The head of the Proud Boys is Enrique Tarrio, who's in federal jail. Gosh, that really bothers me, actually, that guy in federal prison. He's in federal jail. The Afro-Cuban head of that white supremacist organization, right? So many lies. So Chuck Schumer's freaking out. It's all coordinated. Here's the mainstream media. I think Anna Navarro is their version of a Republican on The View. Cut 21.
Trump changed the dynamic. Trump enabled it. Trump empowered it. Trump legitimized it. Yes. Trump brought it to the bully pulpit. What this is, though, is par for the course when it comes to Donald Trump, okay? So let me just go down memory lane. 1973, the U.S. Department of Justice under the Nixon administration sued the Trump Management Corporation for racism.
Yeah.
In 1989, he called for the death penalty for the Central Park Five.
Right.
In 2011, he played a huge role in promoting the birther theory. Yeah. In 2015, he launched his campaign by calling Mexican immigrants rapists and saying they were bringing crime. Yeah. In 2016, he called Judge Curiel just a Mexican, a hater, yeah, a Hispanic, because he wasn't judging for him. In just last month, he called Elaine Chao Coco Chao. So let me just
let's go in reverse
again.
Order. What's wrong? First of all, she's wrong on most of it. And then the stuff that she's right on, there's no problem with. Coco Chao was not racist. Forget it. Forget it. You're not going to stop him. Hey, he didn't call for the death penalty for the Central Park Five, by the way. That's a lot of fake news. And so is all that stuff about the Central Park Five. You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm thinking about doing? Making a documentary. You know what I'm going to call it? The Central Park Guilty. Because those guys are guilty. You have been fed so much fake news. And they feast on it. They gorge themselves on it.
They never talk. I don't think actually a person like Navarro can tell lies from the truth. Anybody puts something on a blue card, and if it's against Trump, going all the way back to 1973, by the way, you can look it up. You can look up the settlement. There was absolutely no admission of guilt on the Trump organization's part. None. Zero. Zero. They would like to try. Okay, well, wait a second. We have not enough. There are 90% white people in this building. There must be discrimination. It's the easiest thing in the world to go around counting faces. Okay, white, black, white, black, white, black, white, black, black, white. Okay, let's crunch the numbers. 87% white. Community in New York City is 49%. Racism! The numbers prove racism. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. So easy. Fixing the problems, figuring out why we have these discrepancies. Oh, that's hard. Ooh, that's uncomfortable. That takes work. That actually entails some risk. You say the wrong thing, you could get in big trouble for that. It's all a concerted campaign, coordinated campaign. Hey, oh, here's somebody I like, and I haven't heard his take on this. This is Sebastian Gorka. He's a colleague of mine at Newsmax. I don't see him that often because he lives in another city. He's outside of D.C., but he's great. He worked for Trump, and here he is on this Kanye-Trump meeting. Cut 25, please.
Number one, I trust what the president said. This is a club. He was having dinner by himself. And then Kanye West, who he knows from what he did very bravely during the Trump administration as a well-known black American, came to the White House, sat at the Resolute desk, put on a red MAGA hat. You know, he had to take all the slings and arrows for supporting President Trump as a black American. So he recognized him. He allowed him to come to his table with an entourage that he knows nothing about, this very peculiar individual, Milo Yiannopoulos, and this absolute scum of the earth, Nick Fuentes, who I've had run-ins myself, who is a Holocaust-denying psycho. And he, you know what he's like, Eric? He's a very hospitable man, and he just allowed them to come to his table. It wasn't an invitation. He didn't know who these strap hangers were. So, number one, it went down like that. I'm sure that's how it went down at the President's Club.
Makes sense to me. What else, Sebastian? Cut 26.
And then secondly, to quote a good friend of mine, Julie Kelly, who tweeted this out, I think yesterday, a dinner, who the hell cares? Really, if you're a conservative and you're tweeting or commenting about the president's dinner at Mar-a-Lago or who glommed onto his dinner table, how about the fact we have political prisoners just a couple of miles from my studio here in D.C. Let's talk about 110,000 fentanyl deaths in the last year. Let's talk about 2 million illegals that we know of. Let's talk about war in Europe. Let's talk about 9% inflation. Really, dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Let's get some perspective, my fellow conservatives.
All right, good stuff from Sebastian Gorka. By the way, is it now what you have to do anytime you meet with anybody? Well, I have to look through everything you've ever tweeted. Everything you've ever tweeted. Now, Kanye West, how long has that guy been famous? 15 years, right? Something like that. I mean, he's been a household name famous for 15 years. The fake news moved on from that, and I can't even remember the tweet, pretty quick. And they were writing about Kanye's girlfriend. They were writing about Kanye's soccer game. They were writing about Kanye meets Kim for breakfast. They were writing about Kanye gets lost in his car. You know, it was back to Kanye being Kanye. It wasn't like Kanye West, the well-known anti-Semite today, went to a soccer game. No, they just kind of continued with the Kanye narrative. It just went from there. Do we have to look at everybody's tweet? Hey, by the way, didn't they kick Trump off of Twitter? How's he supposed to know what Kanye West had tweeted? Hey, the other thing, I didn't actually, in telling you what I'm talking about in the book, and the book, again, is called Justice for All, How the Left is Wrong About Law Enforcement, by me, Greg Kelly, published by Threshold Editions, an imprint of Simon & Schuster. It's available starting January 10th, but here's the deal. This is key. I'm learning all kinds of things about the publishing world and selling books. The pre-orders matter. So if you go to that nice independent bookstore and you tell the the person who works there, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you order that book and put it aside for me? I'll be back on January 10th. That's the best way. Quite frankly, that's the way that will help me the most. You can also go to Amazon and pre-order it there. And I'll be signing books left and right. We'll put that stuff up later. You send it to me, I'll be happy to sign it. So, and if I sell enough books, I'll be able to write another book. That's the important part. It's also important that we correct the record, the false narrative that's been told about the police, about Black Lives Matter, about Barack Obama being a force for good. He's not. And I do set the record straight about that horrible accusation that was made against me 10 years ago, January of 2012, January 25th, 2012. You know, I was really surprised, quite frankly, at the time. Yeah, I get wind of this, what had happened and what I was about to be accused of. And I'm like, well, the New York Times is not going to write about that. I mean, I haven't been arrested. I'm not going to be arrested. Why would they write about that? I understand my dad's a high ranking police official, but if they write this story, they actually put the accuser, you know, they put her at some in some jeopardy, right? Her name could be released or whatever. I thought, no, the New York Times, what are they going to write? I mean, there's nothing to write. There's nothing. How naive. Sure as hell, the New York Times, the most powerful media outlet in the world, just wrote kind of like a rumor. Imagine that. Somebody comes in, says something about you, and then the New York Times just writes it. The New York Times just writes it up, and your world is turned upside down, and everything's on the line. Your freedom. Your livelihood. I hope you never have to go through that. But I made it through, learned a lot, and actually, in retrospect, looking back now, 10 years, almost 11 years later, I'm glad it all happened. I am. I learned so much. And, you know, this is strange, but as a result of all this, from time to time, from time to time, every day, somebody calls me a racist, somebody calls me a rapist. It's one of the worst things. It's probably the worst thing, the two worst things you can be called. I guess murderer. A murdering racist is worse. So they're saying the worst possible thing about me. But fortunately, it's not true. So it just goes through me. It doesn't mean anything. And if you can say that and, like, I can still function, they can say anything. It's not going to stop me. I know it's kind of strange, but somehow I just feel stronger and freer as a result of all this. To this day, even with the criticism, it's strangely freeing. And my heart is full of gratitude. And also, well, it's up to God. It's up to God. It's not up to me to forgive anybody. That's up to God. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, tonight they light up the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center, right? That's one big whoop. I went to see it one time. Oh, man, the crowds. And then, you know, it's a flick of a switch. It's no big deal, a lighted Christmas tree. Calm down. So I did it one time. I don't recommend it. And it creates a pain to get in, pain to get out. And nothing for me. What else? Oh, this is true. San Francisco just voted to approve robots. They gave robots the authority San Francisco supervisors vote to allow police to use robots to kill. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted 8-3 Tuesday night to approve a controversial policy that would allow police to deploy robots capable of using lethal force in extraordinary circumstances. The vote came after a heated debate on a policy that would allow officers to use ground-based robots to kill when risk of loss of life to members of the public or officers is imminent and officers cannot subdue the threat after using alternative force options or de-escalation tactics. I don't like this, obviously. I mean, you know, they did say Terminator, right? The machines, the rise of the machines, that's coming. This is a major step in that direction. It really is. Now, let's see here. Oh, they got to call the chief before they let the robot do anything. What can go wrong? Everything. Everything could go wrong with this. A horrible, horrible, horrible idea. But these are the questions that the San Francisco Police Department are getting now. Nobody's talking about Paul Pelosi anymore. And that poor Dave DePape. Yeah, he's a guy who allegedly hit Paul Pelosi with the hammer. All kinds of problems. I mean, huge problems with that story. And the political implications and the political exploitation of it. Old Nancy going on TV, national television, the night before the election to say Paul Pelosi was hit in the head because of January 6th. Mordecai is in New Jersey, yes.
Greg, how are you? Greg, can you hear me?
Yeah.
How you doing, Greg? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was telling your call screener, I'm in my early 20s, and, you know, essentially all my friends come to me. I'm an Army brat myself. Essentially all my friends come to me for advice in terms of like business and everything. Quick question is, what advice would you give me, a young guy who's a, you know, red blooded patriotic and wants the best for this country, but you know,
Well, wait a second. Why does everybody go to you for advice? What are they?
Because they think that I have my life together.
Is it together? What do you do? What's your situation?
I broker things. I broker deals. It's not, you know, real estate, jewelry, anything really.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, anything sounds like you've got it all figured out.
I made a mistake and did student loans. So I don't have everything, but I'm on the right track.
That's a good question. So what advice do you want from me? You want advice from me?
You know, look, I the way I see it is just like, the way that the country's going, you know, that video of that World War II veteran crying because, you know, he says the country's going to hell in a handbasket. Like,
All right, number one, listen. All right, look, my advice to you, to anybody who's 23 or 93, when I was 23, I was not doing this. I wish I did. I wish I read the Bible. I wish I got closer to God. Get close to God. Do not take up drinking. Save money. Save money. Don't wish your life away. Don't futurize. Don't always think about the future. Make the most of this day. Enjoy it. Remember when we think back to eighth grade? Remember in eighth grade and all that homework we had? It seemed so terrible. Oh, my gosh, if I can only get through this. It's a joke. Imagine if you went to eighth grade now, you'd be skipping along the way. Anyway, Mordecai, those are my thoughts. I appreciate the call. I'll be right back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
I think he should apologize for it, and he should denounce those individuals and their hateful rhetoric without qualification. I think the president demonstrated profoundly poor judgment in giving those individuals a seat at the table.
Oh, wow. Mike Pence, huh? Another profile in courage, right? Doing and saying exactly what the fake news says you should say and think. This is what you got to say and think to gain admission, okay? That's rhino talk. That is rhino talk. We've been through this before. The whole damn thing is a silly scam. And just like every other crisis that seemed like, uh-oh, this could really stop them, it's not going to make one difference whatsoever. People will totally forget. And, by the way, on the merits here, Trump is totally in the clear. Totally in the clear. Hey, now is this okay for me to point out? It's going to be a little touchy here, but I see that Chief Corey is out at the police department, right? Chief Corey, veteran cop, replaced by Chief Madry. Chief Madry, I'm unfamiliar. Chief Madry. Now, at this point, you know, I'm hearing about how important it is that we have diversity, right? Diversity, diversity, diversity. I hear that from the left. It's all about diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. So here in New York City, which is a very diverse town, right? The New York City Police Department, city government, very diverse entities. Right now we have a black mayor, a black police commissioner, and a black acting chief of the department. Now, I don't care, generally speaking. But I keep hearing about how important it is to have diversity. That doesn't sound like a very diverse leadership team to me. It doesn't look like one. Again, I don't really, but then again, maybe I should, because you got to remember it's Eric Adams who's doing all this stuff. Eric Adams, and he has a history. And what does he have a history of? Anti-white racism. So I'm wondering if he is staffing the upper echelons of the police. Well, does he have a chip on his shoulder about white people? Does he feel uncomfortable around white people? Is that the issue? I think it is. And here's proof. Back when Ewick was running for mayor, he proudly spoke about his animosity toward white people, especially white police officers. Go.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department.
Unbelievable. Kicking those crackers' ass. Now, let's see. Cracker. I believe that's a derogatory term for a white person, right? Let's just make sure. Let's take a look at the official definition. Cracker. A thin, crisp wafer, often eaten. No, not that. Ah, cracker, sometimes white cracker or cracka, is a racial epithet directed towards white people, used especially with regard to poor rural whites in the southern United States. Although it has applicability wherever you want to use it, wherever you find white people you don't like. Eric, can I hear that one more time, please?
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department.
And again, according to my first source is Wikipedia, cracker or cracka is a racial epithet directed towards white people. And he kicked those crackers' ass right out of the police department, right? And now he's in charge. Oh, he can't believe all these crackers are working for me. Now let's get rid of these crackers. Wow. Eric Adams, I guess he's at least making good on one campaign promise. Jim in Long Island, hello.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? I'm a retired teacher who fouled up Biden's age. You and I spoke a while ago, and you nicely apologized because someone spoke to you or something like that. I don't know. But
why did I apologize? What did I do? What?
I don't know. You didn't do anything. No. First of all, you did not do anything. I misrepresented. I screwed up Biden's age, and you pointed it out, and then you got on me for being a, you know, know-it-all teacher.
Now I do remember that. You called to correct me with incorrect information.
Correct.
And you're right. That tripped something in my. No, it's okay. We're good. But when people do that, it makes me go crazy. I'm fine being corrected if I'm wrong. But if I'm corrected and I'm right and you're, yes, I'm sorry. I went a little bit haywire. So anyway, Mike, all is good. I mean, I'm sorry, Jim.
Apology the next day. It was nice.
All right.
Thank you for that.
You got it. So what's up?
Not correcting you. Listening to Sid this morning, carrying on about the meeting with Mar-a-Lago with the white racist and Kanye West and blah, blah, blah. And I try to call Sid. Sid is a friend, as was Bernie, and I think you, of Donald Trump. I think you guys are friendly with Donald Trump. And the simplest thing for me as a listener, I'm saying, why don't Sid or you or somebody reach out? Donald listens to your show. And get him on the air to explain what happened.
Well, he can come on anytime. Quite frankly, I am a supporter. I consider myself a friend. And this is all much ado about nothing. You know, Donald Trump, I'll give you a platform and you can address these concerns. It's not a concern for me. I mean, we've been through this before. It's also playing to their strength, the left. It's playing the left's game. Well, we have this brewing controversy, Mr. President. You have to address it. No, he doesn't. It's a phony controversy, like all the rest. So, I don't see the urgency. I talk to him. When I talk to him, when he calls me, I never ask him to come on the show, quite frankly. He has a standing invitation, but he's welcome. Maybe I should just remind him. Actually, I do ask him from time to time. Say, hey, you're welcome to come on. He's like, no, you think? Should I do it now? Anyway, listen, I love the guy. He's not a racist. He's an... he's very much not a racist. He is the opposite of racism, and he's great. Hey, what did Sid say about him? Sid, what did Sid say?
No, let me tell you what I found out, but I want Trump to. I found out that Kanye West and this, whoever that other guy was, showed up on their doorstep uninvited.
No, we kind of all know.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the uninvited part of Kanye. Kanye asked to come. Look, doesn't this all sound fourth grade? You know, it all sounds like fourth grade. It doesn't matter. Hey, Jim, I appreciate it, though. It's good to talk again. Let me do the – I got two more to do. We got Mike. Oh, all the way in South Carolina. Yes.
Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Good.
Haven't spoken to you in a while. It's ironic. I spoke to John Cassavetes on Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're one of those guys who calls the radio station all the time. I'm looking for new blood. I want fresh voices. It's all right. Keep going. What's up?
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Oh, come on. Don't worry about it. Come on. Tell me what's on your mind.
I'm not worried about anything. I'm 68 years old. My kids are doing well. My son and daughter.
All right. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll get to it. Thanks.
Oh, easy, Mike. I don't know that you're going to call me and give me attitude about this. Thanks, Mike. You know, I can.
Hey, have your attitude.
Goodbye, Mike. Goodbye. Let's take Harriet. I knew I should have gone to Harriet first. Harriet is in New Jersey. Hello.
Well, you shouldn't have come to me. No. I just have a few things to say. I've always listened to you. You're really very, very good. But, you know, they get Trump in one way or the other. And if they wouldn't have gotten him on this, they would have called him a racist, that he didn't allow him in because he was because of the race and all that. And that's what it is. And I, as a Jewish person, want to thank, really, really thank from the bottom of my heart, Trump for everything that he's done for us. The other Jewish people who don't vote for him, they're busy voting. They're very busy voting for the people who hate the Jews. That's how they seem to be.
It's amazing. It's true. It's true. They're voting for people who hate the Jews and the squad, and they are all owned by the squad. That Rashid Tlaib has more moral authority in the Democrat Party than Joe Biden does. So anyway, keep going.
But I do not understand it. But when you go back to in history, they've always been that Nixon was so good to them. And what did they do? They buried him. They absolutely buried him. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. But what's going on now, it's really serious, as you know it, because there's no sheriff in town. They have everything going. Everything going. Who's going to stop them?
Oh, wait a second. We got Mike Pence in town, don't we? Pence. Is that a, how's this for toughness?
I think he should apologize for it, and he should denounce those individuals and their hateful rhetoric.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Wow. What a lot of backbone there, huh? Just falling for the trap every single time. Anyway, Harriet, what's the final word?
Huh? Yeah, the Republicans are so bad. I'm a Republican, but some of them are so bad what they can do. And one other thing, is there any way for the individual to check out if their vote was counted? Is there any way that we could do that and show that a lot of our votes were not counted?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you can do that in New York. And I heard of one. There's one jurisdiction where you can tell your vote was submitted. But I don't know if you can tell if it was counted. That's a good question. But look, the more we complicate this damn thing, the more vulnerable it is to from hacking to, well, general mischief and monkey business. When we voted, when I was a kid, 18, you go into that thing with the big lever. It's mechanical. It was mechanical. It wasn't electronic. It was actually mechanical. And it worked well for 100 years. And then Trump won in 2016, and they're not going to let anything like that happen again.
But I don't think they're going to let anybody. They do. Look what they're doing now with the last vote. They think of another way to do it. The machines break down, but there's no sheriff in town. There's nobody. And until the media, the main media, changes their view and changes, it's not going to be.
Well, the media is always terrible, and they always will be terrible. But you're right about that. There is no sheriff in town. Where is that quote I have from Donald Trump where he says about being woke? When you get woke, yeah, listen to this. This is the kind of guy you need. And you'd be surprised. We all meet people from all walks of life. And I'm surprised how many private individuals who are not, you know, office holders, who are not in the public eye – are actually afraid to speak their mind about these issues or to put them down or even to go on social media and say, this is how I feel. We got to take a stand. Listen to this. Unfortunately, I thought that this was more common. And I said, there's a little bit of Trump in all of us. We got to remember that. Listen to this. We can do the same thing. Cut 44.
Wokeism makes you lose, ruins your mind, and ruins you as a person. You become warped. You become demented.
Well, so what I mean by that is we don't have to be pushed around by wokeism. We can stand up. We can push back. We can write letters. We can sound off on social media. We can be Americans. We can be free. This is still a free country. Anyway, Harriet, thank you so much. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department.
Eric Adams, the racist Eric Adams, kicking cracker ass in the police department, huh? He kicked all those crackers out of the senior positions. Chief Corey is his last day on the job, I think, is today. And he's replaced by somebody who's, I'm sure he's fine. Look, I don't care. I genuinely don't care. I would not even, to some degree, I don't know if I would we notice. But when I put it all together and Eric Adams saying those racist, anti-white statements as he's running for mayor, and then I see a good guy like Corey get ejected. I can't imagine in this day and age three white people running a police department. Maybe that's fine. Maybe it's not. But now we got three black people running the police department, right? I mean, what? I don't know. Is it an issue? I think it might just be an issue. I think Eric Adams is guilty of a hate crime. That is hate speech. And I think the human rights department here. You know, I mean, oh, boy, you can get written up for anything. You can get charged for just about anything, and you can definitely get charged for that. Eric, hey, you know, he's on his way to an anti-Semitism conference, and I think he needs to work on his racism first and foremost. Okay, I got to get ready for the show, but a lot of you have been on hold for an awfully long time. Larry in Staten Island, yes. Larry?
Good afternoon, Greg. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to comment on Eric Adams. With this trip to Greece and to Qatar. One, why is he going to Greece to know about anti-Semitism? You're the mayor of the city of New York. Take a ride in your SUV, go to 770 Eastern Parkway, and talk to the Lubavitchers and the people over there about anti-racism. Two, you're going to Qatar. As far as I know, 4 years from now is the next World Cup. And it's taking place in the Meadowlands in New Jersey. Now, at this moment in time and this hour, the NYPD will handle any residual problems that could come from the start of that World Cup.
Yeah.
Three, he may not even be the mayor back then.
Right.
He may be gone.
Yeah, all right. It might be Mayor Kelly. Number four, what?
That's right. I hope so. And listen, good luck with the book. Make sure when you proofread it, there's no lines that say a string of palopities.
What was that guy's name? Herbert J. Whiteside wants me in that a Hollywood picture. A Honeymooner fan. I love it, Larry. Thank you very much. Wait, what about that? Wait, what you say? Oh, look, he's a party boy. He's just a junket. We know a junket when we see a junket. I think when Bill de Blasio looks back on his time as mayor, and Trump gave him some good advice. Take it from me. You're not going to be mayor for much longer, so you should enjoy it and focus on the job that you have. Remember when he would go off to Italy and silly places like Italy's great, but not when you're the mayor of the city of New York. I'm sure he regrets it, and Eric will regret it one day as well. Thank you, Larry. Sal is in Long Island. Yes.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, everybody seems to have an issue with Donald Trump and Kanye West, but nobody, I mean, especially our own Sid Rosenberg, he never had an issue with Barack Obama sitting in a front row seat for 20 years with Jeremiah Wright. Knucklehead. Yeah, and I don't understand how long I'm going to listen to Sid Rosenberg spinning the same
stuff.
All right. You know what I got to do? I got to start. I'm curious because I got a lot of complaints here about Sid, who I like very much, but I don't catch his show very often. So what's he doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? Has he gone woke on us? Is he going woke, Sal?
He did got woke on us. And the only reason people, he's the guy who voted for Hillary Clinton, and I don't believe him voted for Trump the second time around. But listen.
What?
The only reason that people, we are still listening to him because we are hoping that Bernie McGurk, God rest his soul, is going to pop up. And we're going to listen to his voice
again. Oh,
and, okay. Other than that, he's going to lose his show. Nobody's going to listen to him.
All right. Even well, look, he's
mother,
a good.
Even his mother doesn't agree with him this morning. Did you?
I didn't hear. I didn't. His mother called in. Huh? Maybe it's good radio. Look, I'm sure Sid knows what he's doing. He's an experienced broadcaster, and you know, it is. You know, a lot of it's performative and stuff like that. All right. I don't know. You're allowed to say stuff that people disagree with, though, on the radio, Sol, especially talk radio. But I'm sure he knows what he's doing. Hey, you got me in the afternoon, and you know how I feel about Trump and just about everything else. And that's not changing. Thank you, Sol. Let's do one more. Dave has been on the line for a long time. Oh, Dave in California. Hey.
I'll be brief. Two quickies. You played the press clip from the Idaho official about the killings.
Yeah.
He said, stay vigilant and know your surroundings. The killings took place in a bedroom while people were sleeping. So it's literally the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Wait, well, I mean, look, the whole thing. Didn't you think it was a little bit weird the day before he said nobody has anything to worry about? The day before he said nobody has anything to worry about. Then the next day, you know, look over your shoulder. You don't know where this guy is. So I think they got it backwards. Maybe they've gone woke. And when you go woke, you go broke, demented. Anyway, Dave, so what else?
Well, there's a great article in People magazine that just came out about the Eric Adams plan to hospitalize homeless. Search New York City plans to hospitalize
homeless. Hey, wait. People magazine. Oh, my gosh. Let me guess. Are they giving him all kinds of credit? Oh, he's a tough on crime kind of guy. He's really cracking down. Is that what they're saying?
No, it's realistic. They're saying how there's not enough beds to make this happen. So Kathy Hochul says we're going to add 50 beds. That's a drip in the bucket. And Eric Adams says that it took decades to get here and it's not going to go away overnight.
All right, I'll take a look at the article. All this guy does is talk and put out press releases. He does not know how to do anything. He does not know how. He has no idea. He thinks, I'm the mayor. He does not know the basic organization of government, even. He does not know how it works. So, and by the way, the police have been able to lock up mentally ill people for a long time. You bring him to the emergency room. Even his press release had to say, this is to clarify a previous position and to propose something down the road. You know, he's always got a plan. These Democrats are, hey, where in California are you? You're the guy who writes scripts, right?
Yeah, scripts, and I more professionally do music. I'm in Westlake Village, which is it's a suburb outside of L.A. It's nice, spread out, no crime. But, you know, something else about the Eric Adams. He said he was going to flood the subways with police, remember?
Yeah, he's always shooting his mouth off. He's shooting his mouth off. Dave, I love that you keep tabs on New York all the way there in California. Stay in touch, sir. Ooh, Sandra, I'm sorry I missed you. Jerry, Tony, Larry, Rachel, and the rest. We'll stay in touch. Call back tomorrow, please. Newsmax tonight and my book, Justice for All, available everywhere for pre-order.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.